Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of South Asia Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies. I am Malmindajit Singh and we have with us today Dr. Amit Tendupalit, Senior Research Fellow at ISAS. Dr. Palit will be discussing the recent G20 discussions on global digital rules and how India sensationally stayed away from a commitment. Welcome, Dr. Palit, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Malminda.
Now, as we all read, India stayed away from the Osaka Declaration on the Digital Economy, which was recently adopted by most G20 members. Perhaps you would like to tell our listeners what this declaration is all about in the first place.
The first point is, I think when it comes to a declaration on the digital economy, what is essentially at the heart of the declaration is formation of global trade rules, which would facilitate cross-border flows of electronic commerce. And in that process, what becomes extremely important is the extent by which countries allow the data, personal data of citizens in some cases, but mostly non-personal data of their citizens to flow across borders and being utilized by businesses. Now, this has become a major issue of contention across the world, with a large number of countries having announced their intentions of moving towards global trade rules and encouraging the WTO to actually adopt these rules. So this year, earlier in Davos at the World Economic Forum, on the sidelines, almost 80 countries announced their intention to come together and talk to take forward this initiative. And it was on that occasion that Japan actually proposed a move forward, a template, which was popularly referred to as Data Free Flow with Trust. I think the important element of that declaration was the emphasis on the word trust. Mm-hmm. Because to a very large extent, countries have moved in different directions when it comes to management of their own data. But the crucial and conspicuous absence has been that of trust. Countries Sure. don't appear to be trusting each other in the process of sharing data. Countries have legitimate reasons for this kind of skepticism, because there are very serious problems of cybersecurity breaches and other difficulties. But the bigger point is that the way digital economy has enlarged across the world, unless certain rules are fixed, the engagement of businesses across the world is going to become very, very different. So one of the expectations was that at the G20, which is essentially the most influential economic club of the world, comprising both developed countries and emerging market countries, there would be a consensus arrived on the template which Japan had proposed earlier, and the G20 countries would take a decision to at least continue the conversation on this. What we saw happening was that out of the 20 G20 members, 17 signed up, in addition to a number of other countries who were present in the occasion, like Vietnam, Senegal, and so on and so forth. But three countries were conspicuous by their absence, and these include India, Indonesia, and South Africa. I think if one looks back at the developments that have taken place before the G20, one can see a sense of convergence between mm-hmm. the views that these three countries have, which one cannot describe as an overall view of developing emerging markets or the less developed countries, because there are differences in that regard as well, because countries like China, not just China, but even Brazil, Nigeria, who are distinctly developing by their own definition, have actually signed on to the G20 declaration and are part of the global informal talks on e-commerce. So there's a split of views in this regard. India has, for quite some time, insisted on adopting hard rules on storage of data, local storage of data. And it is not a part of the informal talks on global e-commerce. South Africa has been with India on this subject. So what we saw in the G20 was a maintenance of those positions. India and South Africa and Indonesia also continuing to remain where they were. So while they agreed on the G20 leaders' declaration and on other decisions taken at the summit, the Osaka declaration on digital economy, they didn't agree to.
Right. And as you've rightly pointed out, this is no longer a north-south divide.
No.
And it is also not the first time that India has taken a strong position on e-commerce rules, where India and South Africa sent a strong signal earlier this year. So why do you think India has refrained from committing to the Osaka Declaration? What are some of its concerns and fears here?
I think there are two main issues. One is the fact that, like quite a few other countries, I think India is concerned over the fact that liberal market access in the field of electronic commerce will give the upper hand to businesses from countries which now by and large dominate global e-commerce. And these are essentially companies and service providers from countries like the US, China and the UK, for example, which between them control almost three quarters of the global e-commerce business. Now, this comes from the perspective that India is a country which is generating an enormous amount of data. It's digitalizing very fast, and the volume of data it will generate in the years to come is going to be much more. But its own companies might not be in a position to capitalize the digital wealth that is being generated in the country. So as a result, the efforts are on from a policy perspective to ensure that there are more homegrown champions who can capitalize that data as opposed to the foreign companies. Now, this is a position which is not unique to India. There are other countries who are taking this position as well, including probably China to a large extent, because China has taken this interesting position that while it is a part of global e-commerce talks, it is not really open to very flexible data rules as of now.
Sure.
But I think the problem in this regard is that this is a position which wins legitimacy, not just from the point of view of the perspective of domestic businesses, but also from the point of view of a security concern. Because one of the biggest points behind data localization and insistence of rules that data must be stored locally is the fact that otherwise there is no guarantee to security of data. Well, one might well argue that where is the guarantee to security of data even if it is stored locally? But I think the guiding view, the more dominant view in this regard is that, at least in the Indian context, that if that data is kept within the territorial jurisdiction of the country, it's likely to remain much more secure than if free flow of the data is allowed elsewhere.
Absolutely. So what are some of the implications for India not committing to this, and is there any recourse in the long run?
I think India has taken a risk. I don't know whether it's a calculated risk, but because I think there is a very serious risk in not framing data localization rules, but more in staying away from all conversations that are going on across the world to come to a construct of global rules on digital trade. And this I say from two particular perspectives. One, India right from the beginning has been a very active player when it came to multilateral rule framing in the world of trade. It was a very active member of WTO, including from the Uruguay round of GATT declarations. So there is a history of India's participation in multilateral rulemaking. I think by doing what India is doing now, it is actually going against that history. And the second thing is that the Indian economy now is probably the world's sixth or seventh largest economy, depending upon the numbers that we take. And it aspires to become much larger. It has to grow digital. But if it tries going digital without connecting to the rest of the world, then that is a bit of an anomaly. And I'm not exactly sure how that anomaly can be addressed. So in that respect, I hope the Indian policymakers have thought this through carefully in terms of what might be the risks of disengagement. But if they have, then well and good. It is certainly an exception to the way other countries of the world are taking to this, because I think security is a concern and a priority for all countries. But that is not necessarily preventing them from not taking part, you know, in discussions. I think that's something where India is exceptional.
Certainly. I hope it's a calculated risk, as you say, and that not being at the table, the discussion table, does not cost India too much in the long run.
I do hope so.
Thank you, Dr. Palit. This has been a fascinating session. Dear listeners, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed this session. Tune in again soon for another session of South Asia Chat. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.